across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we speak to the man behind Australia's boldest protest yet against French testing, the man who drove through the front gates of the French embassy in Canberra in a station wagon with a kangaroo strapped to the roof. Bill Hayden, look and learn. Also today, we've got the real transcript of the Governor-General's historic missed opportunity at the UN. Mick Malloy introduces you to the comedy of Boris Yeltsin. On Radio Gladiators, we'll be asking that police bomb disposal robot, what else is it good for? And joining us live, Wendy Harmer, on the program that makes the Russian president laugh like a drain, Martin Malloy. SAFM. Where do you go? That's hunters and collectors welcoming you aboard Australia to another edition of Martin Malloy. It's Wednesday, and who's in today? Well, I suppose it'd be me, Tony Martin, and this bloke over here. A man who, well, often drives around with a kangaroo strapped to his roof, but that's just his way of impressing the ladies. Mick Malloy.
I'm looking for a parade, usually.
Are you?
Yeah. Something to participate in.
Yeah. Now, do you suppose this bloke who got the roux and the missile on the roof of his car, is that a potential Mardi Gras parade entrant, do you think?
I'd like to see it.
It's got a lot of the required features.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about is this man, Danny Thompson. He runs a pub in Berry, New South Wales, and it's called the Southern Hotel. Mm. So pop in if you're in the region. And he's not keen on Jacques Chirac or Dominic Girard going anywhere near the pub.
No. No, he's not.
And I don't know how likely that is, but he's not very keen on the concept. So what he's done is he's strapped a roux and a missile to the roof of his station wagon and basically driven right through the gates at the French embassy and, well, there's been a bit of chaos and...
Stormed the Bastille.
Yeah, indeed. So I tell you what, let's not have me explain it. Let's talk to the man himself. Mm-hmm. Just pass us over the phone. Mm-hmm. See if we can get through to the Southern and have a bit of a word to him. Do you think he'll be there, Mickey?
It's happy hour, Tone.
Oh, I think he'll be around. Probably planning his next wily scheme.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, Great Southern Hotel. Can I help you?
Hello. Could I speak to Danny Thompson, please?
Who could I see speaking?
Yes, it's Tony Martin and Mick Malloy from the Martin Malloy radio program.
All right. I'll just have CVT for you.
Okay. Okay. Oh, we might have to speak to his agent. Harry M. Miller's about to come on the phone, I think. Oh, he's got the pokies in.
He's just finishing his game.
Either that or he's out the back strapping a giant panda to the roof getting ready for his assault on the Chinese embassy.
Good afternoon, Danny speaking.
Hello, Danny. This is Tony Martin and Mick Malloy calling from the Martin Malloy radio program. How are you today?
Not too bad, thank you.
Congratulations on your efforts, by the way.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Yeah, thank you. Good thinking. How'd you come up with that idea?
Really goes back to when we actually got a bit of a petition going.
Yeah.
And then after conferring with Peter Knott, who's a local member down here, we asked him to get us an interview with the French ambassador.
Okay.
Barring from the hotel and present him with a petition.
And just prior to that scheduled meeting, you stormed the embassy in a wagon with a stuffed marsupial on the roof. Now, can I suggest maybe when you came up with that idea, it would have been pretty close to the last drinks call?
What time, gentlemen, please, you
mean. And what do you call the wagon you were driving? Do you call it the Chiragan wagon?
No, I think it's the Chirac-off wagon.
The Chirac-off wagon. Or the Rumobile. Hey, now, I know you've banned Jacques Chirac and indeed Dominic Girard from coming down the Southern.
Yeah.
Does Dominic ever try and get in? Does he front up, you know, with a bit of a disguise, saying he's just got to get in and have a crack at the pokies and have a few cold ones at the bar?
There's a gentleman I have here who's been living in Berry since he was 13. He's 84. His name's Mark Bolt. And he's got a marvellous memory for faces, so...
So when you're checking for IDs at the pub, it's not so much driver's licences, it's passports you're interested in.
Well, no, it's just whether Mark Bolt gives them a nod or not.
Okay. So have you got a sign up out the front? No shirts, no shoes, no Chirac?
No, we've just got a little poster in the bar, but this is actually for the staff, because I've got a photo of Jacques Chirac in the bar.
That'd be on the dartboard, wouldn't
it? Well, that'd be a good spot to put it, I guess, or...
Did they give you your car back?
There wasn't a lot of problem there. We had an appointment, 11 a.m.
And were you surprised, like, after that they didn't give you your meeting?
I don't know why the guy, why wouldn't he come outside, you know? If I sort of drove up in your driveway and there's a lot of people out in your front yard who normally aren't there, you'd maybe come out to have a look.
I'd be out with my hands above my head going, take what you want. Dominic didn't show his face then.
I didn't get a good chance to look to see if he was peeking behind a curtain.
Oh, you can't miss him. He's a dead lookalike for Ned Flanders off The Simpsons.
Oh, really?
That's Dominic for you. So you'll know if he gets there, but he won't get that close. So now you've imposed your own exclusion zone around your pub. Now, Danny, I know you didn't get your meeting with Dominic, but I know he listens to our program. Have you got a message you'd like to just give to him now?
Well, today we took up a subscription for departure tax, if he'd need a bit of help with that.
So people can kick in.
I'd be quite happy to pop down there and visit him again.
So what's next on the agenda for the political activists down at the Southern?
All I really want to do is actually go down with a couple of other people who drink here. I'm not after any explanations why, because who's even interested in why? It's just, why not stop?
So discuss it over a couple of quieties.
Probably best to have a few coffees first, then maybe a few,
Well, Danny, all the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
We're right behind you.
Thanks a lot, matey.
Your car looks like a bit of a mess in this photo. Take it through a car wash, mate.
I've actually just been taking the posts off. I've got to go do that now.
So. Okay, well, take that roof off the roof first, though.
Yeah, he's all right. He's back inside. He's safe.
Good on you. Okay, thanks for talking to us, Danny.
Good on you.
You too, everlasting love on Martin Molloy. Thanks very much to Danny Thompson up there at the Southern for setting us straight on that incident at the French Embassy. And also a special hello to, who is that bloke? Was it Mark Bolt?
Mark Bolt.
I think Bolty, who's like 84, but sitting out the front of the pub, keeping an eye out.
You might forget him, Tone, but he'd never forget you.
That's right.
Nothing gets past the gatekeeper.
Nobody French gets in the door. Now, Bill Hayden, I have to say, his performance at the UN, why isn't Bill Hayden taking a leaf out of Danny Thompson's book?
Bit of affirmative action. He's got transport. Let's get him over there.
He's got 12 million bucks. He's got his own plane. At least he can strap a roo to the roof and do something colourful, something bloody useful.
Absolutely.
His performance at the UN was pretty disgraceful, and in case you missed it, here's what happened.
Welcome back to the United Nations 50th Anniversary Spectacular. You join us with Germany's Chancellor Kohl having left the podium after devoting his allocated five-minute address to a moving account of the historic reunification of Germany. Before that, the distinguished audience heard Nelson Mandela's impassioned plea for racial tolerance and were treated to a seemingly impromptu juggling demonstration from Russian President Boris Yeltsin, which ended prematurely with all three water jugs bouncing off Mr. Yeltsin's head and Mr. Boutros Boutros-Ghali helping him into the ambulance as he launched into a spirited rendition of If I Could Talk to the Animals. The speeches continue in a moment with Israel's Yitzhak Rabin rumoured to be sharing his 5 minutes with Yasser Arafat, the pair said to be presenting a unique performance of the classic Who's On First. During the break, the crowd have been regaled by the madcap antics of Australia's Kevin Bloody Wilson, despite the interpreter's inability to adequately translate the phrase rootin' in the back of the ute. Oh, the crowd settles now as that country's representative, Mr. Bill Hayden, prepares to speak.
Testies, one, two. Hey, oldie bit of goody. Hey, Fidel, nice jacket. That knitted under your five-year plan, was it? Okay, down to business. Greetings to my fellow ambassadors from Afghanistan, Algiers, Angola, Austria.
4 minutes to go.
Righto. Keep your pants on. Oh, drop my cards. Just talk amongst yourselves. Oh, there we go. Okay, now. Oh, big hand for Kevin Bloody Wilson, by the way. The new album's out in the shops now. It's a bloody ripper. You know, I recall the first time I saw Kevin work.
3 minutes.
Sure, jeez. There was something I was supposed to do. Oh, that's right. Minties, come and get them. Hey. My distinguished colleagues.
2 minutes.
By the way, just quickly, I've been out the front. If anyone's in a one-hour spot, I've seen a couple of parking inspectors, the old grey ghost. Yes, sir, if that's your Jeep, buddy.
1 minute. What about French testing?
Oh, rightio, I'll get to it. Jeez, Louise. Now, there's something I have to say. It really would be remiss of me on an occasion such as this, with the world's eyes focused on this historic gathering. It's my duty just to send a quick cheerio to Dallas. She's watching back at Yarra Lumla. Oh, don't forget to let the cat out. Also, hello to Peg and Bruce, Davo, down at the consulate. All right, all right. Oh, nearly forgot my good mate Paul Keating. Mate, sorry about the $12 million fiasco, but I can promise that will be the last of my embarrassing gaffes. Oh, all right. Jeez, look, Mum, I'm on TV.
SAFM.
Thank you, Coolio.
Yeah, he can't do enough for us.
He's living in a gangster's paradise.
All his albums are called Gangster's Paradise.
Are they?
Yeah, his new one's going to be called Gangster's Paradise.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's thinking.
Well, that's Coolio.
He's a lot of home going, yeah, no, I'll call it the same.
Yeah. Coolio or Foolio, I ask you. But coming up in the next hour here on Martin Molloy, we'll be joined by Wendy Harmer. And she's always got something to say. She's always either just been married or just gone to a wedding herself. So, hopefully there'll be some wedding bells in the next hour of the program. Also, Radio Gladiator's on the way, and just rifling through the papers as always here on the show. And a couple of stories have caught my eye. Firstly, the Bill Kelty blackmail scare.
Oh, yeah.
Been following that, Bill Kelty's blackmail scare? Mm. Well, face it, the only person holding Bill Kelty to ransom is his hairdresser.
Send me $100,000, Bill.
Well, the hair stays the way it is.
Pay him. Pay him.
But any other stories you want to get out of the way?
Look, I've just been doing the same thing, and I've stumbled across a beauty. Are you aware of this? There's been a bomb attack. Mm-hmm. On a dating agency, a bomb exploded, ripping through the premises of the Haverfling dating agency. And I thought, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? All I can think is someone has been on a pretty ugly date. Some bloke's paid good money. They've said, yeah, we've got the perfect partner. And he's been a little let down by their designated partner. Because, I mean, he's gone to the trouble of bombing the joint. That's pretty pissed off. Jeez, I mean, who'd they send? Max Sharam?
This is Martin Molloy, brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
That's the Commitments Mustang Sally here on Martin Molloy, the home of
Radio Gladiators. Your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, I'm sure we're all familiar with the work of that police robot. You know the robot they send in when there's a bomb to be picked up or, you know, there's a bloke who's got a gun in a van or something and they send it in with a little video camera.
It rolls in. It's got the big arm on the front, grabs whatever.
It's a fantastic robot and it's a much-loved part of our police force, although I think it's been named a couple of times in the Police Royal Commission, but the charges were never proved. They never found the paper bag with the money in the claw. It was just all talk. But I have to say, you know, it doesn't get that much use, does it, really? I mean, it's in for a bomb disposal, and it's not that reliable. If you watched it on the news when they show the footage and it'll go in and it comes back with, like, you know, a couple of cassettes, you know, a copy of Hot August Night. And they're going, the bomb! They have to reprogram it. But does it get enough use? I mean, is it mostly just sitting in the garage?
I'd like to see it being used generally. You know, general release for the public. So you could use it for just about anything. Oh, you know what I'd like to use it for? To return my late videos. So instead of actually having to go in and face the big guy who you owe $50, you're out the front on the remote and you just send it in with a big arm and it just leaves it and runs away.
Now, this is the premise for today's Radio Gladiators. We want you to think of alternative uses for the sadly underused bomb disposal robot that the cops have got in their little garage out the back there. And I'm thinking, would they use it to, say, send it down the shops to get a 420? Is that something that they might do?
Oh, look, if they've got any brains, it'd be pre-programmed to do that. That would be just on its own, down the shops, grab the 420 and it's out of there.
And what say it came back with the wrong brand? In for a reprogram?
No, that's when it explodes it. beef and pastry everywhere. And you're going to keep doing this bomb robot till you get it right.
Okay, well, now, the prize. Let's mention the prize. It's a Sony Discman. It's very small. And it's, but it's, don't be fooled by the fact that it's real small, because it sounds beaut.
Yeah, smaller means better.
Yeah. In the world of audio engineering.
That's the maxim of all the major electronic firms. Yep. Smaller is better.
And all you have to do is think up an alternative use for the police bomb disposal robot. Call now, 1-800-657-657.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, a bit of technical trouble here at Martin Malloy. That'll be edited out for the black box recording. And it's Radio Gladiators. Let me just tell you the music we've been enjoying. It's Check It Out by John Cougar, or the artist formerly known as John Cougar Mellencamp.
Right?
He's just John Mellencamp now, and all the better for it, I think.
Yeah, good.
But let's get ourselves composed. Sorry, people, we've been manning the phones like there's no tomorrow, because it's Radio Gladiators, and the question today we're asking is... are we getting enough use, Australia, out of our favourite robot, that bomb disposal robot that the cops seem to wheel out on special occasions? We want some alternative uses for it. Who have we got, Mick Malloy?
We've got David to begin with. G'day, Dave. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. How's yourself?
Look, yeah, I'm right as rain as we speak. Now, look, let's get down to it. The bomb disposal robot, what kind of use do you envisage?
I reckon to give something the drug dog something to play with.
The drug dog, something to play with. So it's a bit of a doggy toy.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That you reduced it to.
Yeah, give it something to do.
So send the Alsatians, German Shepherds, out into the backyard with the bomb disposal robot. Say, attach a bit of a rope with a, you know, a can of Powell on the end, and just get the remote control, and just that's just hours of fun for the cops. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or just get them to chase each other around.
Maybe it could go around cleaning up after the drug squad dogs.
So it's a tax. Taxpayer-funded pooper scooper. Is that what you're suggesting, Mick Malloy?
Yeah, now we're in business.
Hey, David, you got a studio audience at your place, have you?
Yeah, we've got a couple of guys here.
Yeah?
What are their names?
We've got Matty and Swoops.
Okay, on your Matty, on your Swoops. No, God, we could just do this for hours.
We'll be back later, David, possibly.
Okay, now let's move on to yet another David. David number two, what is your suggestion?
I suggest that if you're too young to go into a nightclub, I mean a stripper club, then send it in for you, because it would be pretty nifty with the camera and all that.
Yeah, so it takes in the camera...
Yeah.
And checks it out, and if it's anything worth seeing, you then lob in.
Yeah.
Is that the way it works? Right.
Yeah.
If it liked what it saw, could you program it to put some money inside the lady's underpants?
Oh, Mick.
Oh, hey, aren't they? David brought
Mick,
it up.
The bomb robot is a dancer. It's not a stripper, damn it. How many times does it have to say that? Hey, David, you'd be too young yourself, wouldn't you?
Pardon?
You'd be too young yourself to go into one of these sleazy...
Yeah, definitely.
But you've obviously... You're pretty keen.
You could go and chaperone, couldn't you, Dave?
Pardon?
You could go and chaperone, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Like if... What are you doing on the weekend?
Yeah.
You got a spare couple of hours, buddy?
Oh,
we'll go and see the sights, shall we?
I was going to say your dad, but if Mick's offering his services...
It's me, you and the bomb robot.
Okay, that's...
It's a date.
Expect a full report on Monday's program. Now, I think we'd better move on to Leanne. Leanne, what's your idea for the bomb robot?
Well, what I think we should do with the robot is... I think we should cast him as Dexter in the new movie Perfect Match.
Oh, is there a movie Perfect Match, is there?
Well, you know, I think there should be one. It could be good.
You could...
Could be a real money spinner.
You could cast it as Greg Evans from the basis of the performance I've seen.
Okay, and what is Dexter doing these days? Is Dexter, is he on Skid
Up
Road?
On blocks. He's in for a lube and oil change.
Perhaps he's reinventing himself.
Absolutely.
Like people do in show business. He'll be back.
I'm sure I saw Dexter on the catwalks of Paris recently.
Yeah, he's kicked on. Okay, thanks for that, Leanne. I don't really like the idea of a Perfect Match film myself, but it certainly shows imagination. Have we got Gary on board? Gary, what's your idea?
G'day, mate. I think I'd send him down to the chemist in the middle of the night to pick up a few extra condoms.
On behalf of the cops, do you think?
Yeah.
So the cops are too embarrassed to go into the chemist and ask for condoms, so they send a nail a robot. That's using your mind.
Yeah, especially if they know him. Yeah. He's got to have something in his hand, hasn't he?
You'd have to be careful using condoms that had been retrieved by the bomb robot.
I think you'd have to
check they were still in working condition.
As long as they weren't French tickles, you know, you can't have anything French.
Yeah, I don't know whether the bomb robot's really up to it. I can see it just lurking sort of rather embarrassedly by the sunglasses tree,
waiting to make its move.
Oh, no, don't tone. The bomb robot knows if it's not on, it's not on.
Fair enough. Okay, thanks, Gary. And finally, I believe we've got yet another David. David, what's your idea?
Well, I'd like it to change my son's nappy. Because a bomb's got nothing on his butt.
Is that right? It's an accident black spot, is it?
I tell you what, it's pretty bad.
So round your place, when it's time to change nappies, often the whole area will be roped off and there'll be someone with a megaphone going, there's nothing to see here, move it along, thanks, folks. The show's over.
It's not a job you enjoy, is that correct, David?
No, I try to live it for the wife and I leave the house.
So David out, bomb disposal robot in.
Okay, I think that might be our winner.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people would identify with that particular idea. And we'll see if we can get the robot down to your place and see if it can get the safety pins and the nappies and go to work.
Yeah, I'll get the wife onto it.
All right, well, we'll see what we can do. Thanks very much, David. You've got the Sonny Discman.
Fantastic.
Number one choice of bomb robots everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't ring true, does it? No. But I'm trying to help the good people at Sonny.
Yeah.
Now, also, you've gone into the draw for the Ford Festiva.
Excellent.
Yes.
I'll win it.
That's, well, it's going to be drawn on November 17th, so be listening.
I will.
Okay, and you get back to the nappies, and thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. And next up, we're going to be speaking to someone who I don't think is on for any nappy trouble at this stage, but we'll certainly see if there's anything in that department on the horizon when we speak to Wendy Harmer.
This is mine, temperatures in the low 20s. In the city, it's now 18 degrees. You're now up to date.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, the comedy of Boris Yeltsin, the backdoor shenanigans continue on International Lunchbox. And next up, we're poking and trodden at the grey matter of one Wendy Harmer, all courtesy of our remarkably good friends at Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
Action!
S-A-F-M.
That's Alicia Bridges. I love the nightlife here on Martin Malloy. And our guest today, well, she's somebody who doesn't have time for the nightlife. Her voice is very familiar to our Sydney listeners, where she wields on the Today FM breakfast show, arriving for work at 1:30 every morning and not leaving till close to midnight or whenever the gags have reached the exacting standard she and she alone demands. It's Wendy Harmer. Are you there, Wendy?
Thanks, guys. I hope the program director's listening.
It was just all for his benefit, Wen.
Thanks so much.
Now, what are you doing at home?
Well, I'm just doing, you know, the usual. We've just went out and cut some spinach and parsley and things out of the garden to make the vegetable thing. I've been embroidering this afternoon. I tell you what, I'm about a 60-year-old.
When are you going to slow down, Wendy? Yeah. It's life in the fast lane. You've been doing it for years now. Ease up.
I know, it's quite sad, really, isn't it?
Well, there you go. So you're at home relaxing.
Yep, yep. Just...
What are you wearing?
Well, actually, a spotty dressing gown, if you have to know. It's not going to turn anyone on. I'd stop right there.
We haven't interrupted the vacuuming, have we?
Now, mind you, the espadrilles are a good look.
Oh, yes. And nobody wears them like you do. Now, Wendy, we've been talking Bill Hayden on the program today. Did you happen to catch his speech?
I did happen to catch his speech. Really, it was like, I don't know whether there's such a thing as listening to paint dry, but it was bloody, it was boring, it was tedious. But you can see how he might have left out that French thing, can't you? You can see when a person is under pressure, you know, everyone's looking at them. It's like giving a speech at a wedding, say, and you've got to thank, you know, the caterers, and you've got to say something about the bridesmaids. You've got to say something about the parents. And
he spent that first 3 minutes just reading telegrams.
That's exactly right. And you can imagine how he'd be like, you know, in the car on the way home and thinking, oh, bugger it, I forgot to slag the French, you know. run back to the reception and, guys, anyway, the bride's mother told me to, it's one of those things when we do stand-up, you know, and you're always thinking your best line on your way home, and I'm sure that's what happened to Bill.
That'll happen to me on the way home after the show, I'm sure,
Wendy. Now, Wendy, I know you follow the sport. Any sport talk for us?
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's just amazing up here is we just keep hearing so much about rugby league players and how much they're getting paid at the moment, like $2.3 million over a couple of years, $3 million. You and I, we're all in the wrong job, obviously. But I keep worrying, what on earth do rugby league players need that much money for?
Footy shorts.
I mean, apart from fighting lawsuits and things, I mean, how much does a neck transplant cost?
Well, you know, I suppose they've got, they've got to buy tutus for their appearances on the footy show.
That's it. And the spa bath bill is huge, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So that's been getting your goat, has it, Wendy?
Well, I've got a husband who's been watching the pay TV, the World Cup.
Oh, yes.
And I was one of those women, you know, I usually end up being a rugby league widow, and I thought, hello, it's finished, the grand final, it's over. Oh, no. He's been, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, he's up until watching the old cup. So we sort of check in on the way, you know, on the way. I get up about to 3:30. He comes to bed about 3:00, and it's like one of those Roadrunner cartoons where you check in. Morning, Ralph.
Morning, George. What are you doing watching pay TV, Wendy? Haven't you answered the call? I mean, everyone who's not locked into a contract of some description is down there at the pay TV headquarters with the snout in the trough. What's going on? Have you been approached?
Well, no. Gee, I'd love... I actually went out the other day. I was going to buy a home video camera. That's about as close as I've gotten to being on the box lately. I don't know what's wrong. I've put down some breast implants, that kind of thing. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. What about you two?
No, we haven't got the call, but the way I see it, it's just a chance for anyone who hasn't worked for years to get a bit of a gig. Is Donnie Sutherland signed up for pay TV?
He's got his own channel on the Sutherland Network.
Have we seen anything of Izzy Dye anywhere there?
Oh, yes. There's 5 Izzy channels, apparently. You can just Izzy away till your heart's content.
Well, I haven't seen any comedy programs as such, any local comedy programs.
Obviously This Is Your Life hasn't got a pay TV kind of franchise yet.
And I mean, maybe they could have a Just Kidding channel. I think that'd be quite good. Do you see Kimberly's making a big move across? It's big news, isn't it?
Is it? Which Kimberly? More specific.
Kimberly Davies is going to host Just Kidding alongside Stephen Jacobson.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, that's going to be a riot.
You know why? She's looking for credibility.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it's all about. Okay, now, Wendy, can you stand around for a while just with a phone in your hand while we play a couple of tracks?
Yeah, because I tell you what, you know how I'm mad about weddings.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about this wedding I went to over the weekend.
Oh, yes. Well, hold that thought, Wendy. We'll be back to plunder it in just a moment.
Okay.
On Martin Malloy.
SAFM.
That's Sophie B. Hawkins as I lay me down here on Martin Malloy, where young Wendy Harmer's on the phone. Are you still there, Wendy?
Yes, I'm still here.
Now, every time we speak to you, you seem to have just been to a wedding. Any change today?
No, I'm really fascinated with weddings. I've been watching this Charles and Camilla thing.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And I've been thinking about that. You know, I think he's going, everybody's criticising him, you know, because he's brought Camilla out of the closet and how he's doing it. But I think, really, he's going about it the right way. If you think about it, do you remember in Bewitched when suddenly Samantha just turned up with a new Darren?
That's right.
And I never got over that as a kid. I mean, if Charles just came out one day with a new, you know, princess, I mean, it'd be traumatic for everyone concerned, don't you think?
And look quite surprised about the furor. What's going on? What's wrong, people?
Didn't they replace Abigail on number 96?
Yeah, did they? Was there a replace? I know they replaced, I think, the drummer.
They did it once.
Partridge Family, is that right? Just changed one day?
Was it? No, I think Abigail was just replaced with, I don't know, I think it was something inflatable.
A waterbed.
A waterbed. Correct.
Okay.
Do you know whether she's dropped the weight, by the way?
Well, she's doing ads where she claims she has.
Mm.
But that could be done with morphing. You know what they can do these days? Now, so Wendy, you haven't got married again yourself.
No. I went off to a wedding. My husband was a groomsman at a wedding, and I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, when you're sitting in the church and you're watching the ceremony, it occurred to me that there's three kinds of married couples, you know, when you're watching those weddings. The first lot of the married couples who haven't been married very long, and while the wedding vows are going on, they look at each other and they get really misty and they start sort of sitting close together, and that's sort of really cute. Mm. And then the ones who've been married a long time who kind of look at each other bewildered, saying, did we say this crap to each other? And they move further away. And then there's the third kind who don't hear anything because they're too, you know, busy yelling out, Kylie, stop running up and down the aisle. So it's quite funny. But
and what stage are you at, Wendy?
Oh, well, I'm coming up for first anniversary on December. So I'm still in that, you know, goo-goo phase. Mm. You know, I was looking at my husband thinking, boy, what a spunk. I'd marry him all over again. Or go for the big knee trembler like in The Godfather. I don't know what I'd do. But it also occurred to me, like at the wedding reception, you know, people are so nervous about the speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are just tearing their hair out. And they always come up to me and say, oh, God, you know, this is so nerve-wracking. And I'm thinking, well, at least you guys who are doing their speeches don't have, like we have when we do a live show, the prospect of being reviewed.
Oh, yes.
Imagine if after your speech at the wedding, you know, you picked up the Daily Paper and there was a little review, something like this. When Kevin and Leanne's wedding reception opened on a predictable tableau of trestle tables set with Carrington blush and chisels under the carport, this reviewer, for one, knew she was in for a long evening. The first act dragged interminably as the 140 strong cast delivered some rather uninspired dialogue. Hello, Jeff and Mari. Haven't seen you since Tracy's engagement, being one of the more memorable exchanges. The highlight of the evening, the groom's speech, was unfortunately marred by cries of, Kevin, speak up, we can't hear you, and sit down, you wanker. And the third act was saved by an inspired cameo from the police. I give it 1.5 stars and 6 months top.
Oh, thanks very much, Wendy Harbour.
Lovely.
Hey, Wendy, I actually went to a wedding on the weekend as well, and it was one of those, you know, the elaborate Catholic weddings with a lot of call and response. You know, there's a lot of bits where you have to come in with a lot of amens.
Yeah, audience participation.
Yeah.
Sort of those lines with what he said, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was just wanting them to do a couple of Music Man numbers in there somewhere. I am the Music Man, and then you have to come back with, I come from down your way. That's the kind of thing I want to see. If I get married, that's what I'm going to have. No elaborate, medieval talk for me. It'll just be, can you do the Groucho Marx and get everybody in the church getting on the silly glasses? That's my pledge to you, Australia.
All right. Best we get about finding you a bride, T-Mark.
Okay, well, is Unky from Sweden still in the country?
I'm sorry, Tony. We've talked about this.
Now, enough of our blathering on. Wendy, I'm sure you've got more important things to do than speak to two bozos on the radio.
That's exactly right. I have to go and troll through the new weekly for my material for tomorrow's show, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing in there, we're sunk.
How's the jam coming along? Have you been home making jam?
I don't think that's sort of, although I must say on the radio all the time, I bore the guys senseless with my vegetables. I always say to them, you know, there's a lot of people who are gardeners who listen to this show, and they just, like, you know, it's terribly boring, but I'm very, you know, very domestic these days, and old and slowed down and very happy.
Okay, the new weekly, it's good to see that your show is built on the same foundations as ours, Wendy Harmer. And thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers,
have a
Wendy.
Great night.
Okay, we'll be back with more in a moment on Martin Malloy.
SAFM.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.